This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War on the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons, tune in. We're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe.
While we're waiting here, I sent both of you a link. I had just discovered it here the last 20 minutes.
Great.
A good commentary on the new variant, Omicron.
Yes.
In which the person there discusses that in the Greek, Omi is also among its meanings, it means no. And we know Kron means time. And it's Satan sending a cryptic message to all of his individuals he wants to be up and running that there is no more time. Implement whatever they're instructed to do now.
I heard Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak, they have a show called No Agenda. They said, you take that word omni. It also stands for moronic. And he said,
well,
it's world
an
order.
Anagram. You
they think we're a bunch of.
It's an anagram.
Anagram.
Yeah.
We are a bunch of morons. And I think they probably think that too.
Yeah. Greg Mannarino's been mentioning that. And he's a stock market investor who has a YouTube page and a couple other things. And he's been on Alex Jones's program, though I don't see him always lining up with Alex Jones. He's a stock market trader and a pretty good one. He makes money, though I would not necessarily recommend that you follow his trades because some of them have a high amount of risk.
Old George and, over at Cryptos or Us, he said it's a nothing burger. Of course, it affected the price of Bitcoin substantially and these other coins over the week, but I'm hearing that it's just, you know, you might have a little bit of extra cough. Is that what you're hearing? Or is it worse than that? That they're going to use this to even put us in more severe lockdowns. So far, Biden hasn't done anything, right? But I know Israel, they blocked any flights from, well, wait a minute, I take that back. Biden did block all flights from South Africa, right?
Yes.
But in terms of,
just today.
But he's been wanting to do that for a long time anyway, because a lot of crazy things come out of South Africa.
But I mean, no lockdown restrictions for Americans who have come out so far, is that right?
None so far. None so far. I've not seen any here. I haven't been here in Colorado. But I live in a fairly isolated part of Colorado, even though I there's an interstate probably 300 yards from where I live. It's still a pretty isolated part of Colorado, and you have to want to come here.
Hey, and speaking of COVID, Major Tom, is anything lifted over where you're at? Has it gotten a little bit more relaxed, or are you still feeling pressure over there from that prime minister?
The pressure is still in continuing. In fact, the deadline was on the 19th of November, and individuals who refuse to comply now have been fired.
Oh, from government positions?
From government positions, that's correct.
Oh, boy.
And to include the cleaning staff.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's a crazy world. However, most people are becoming very aware that this is a lethal injection, a death vax, death vax. And why would you volunteer for your trip to death?
Right on. I'm not going to be their guinea pig.
Exactly.
Things kind of loosen up a bit over here. I mean, officially, they still have lockdown measures.
Right.
I found out I can get into a particular mall if I go to the garage entrance that has a supermarket entrance. And then you can get up to the second level. And then just yesterday, I went out and was able to get into a store that has the big QR code out there, but it's not being enforced. I think what has happened is a lot of the businesses realize, hey, we can end up going bankrupt if we enforce this. We're losing customers. The government's not
letting us out. Why do you want to send your customers away? You want them to come into your store and spend their money.
And the
that's how you make money.
That's right. Government ain't paying them, so they're going out of business. So they said, heck no. So I literally walked in 2 days in a row into this store that I hadn't been able to get into previously and just walked on in. And praise the Lord, nobody was enforcing it. Now, was it just that particular security guard? I don't know. I do know, though, that the one mall I could get in now through the basement entrance, if you go up to the main door or at another level, can't get in. They want you to scan that QR code. So that's given me a little bit of hope that I think there's some pushback and people say, hey, we're just not going to enforce this, but try to get on a plane, that's a whole different matter. No, we're stranded. Back to you, gentlemen. Welcome aboard, everybody.
Yeah.
Tom Mack and Tom Beard here tonight. Y'all want to open us up in prayer?
Yes,
go
please.
Ahead.
Dear Heavenly
ahead,
Father, we come before you right now, and we know that you are the only true God, regardless of how much puff and bluff the devil wants to put forth. You are God instead. And that these things that are happening around us right now are at his behest, and you have allowed him to perpetrate the lie that is a great deception, and there's further great deceptions coming. Lord, we need your presence and your spirit of discernment, of protection, of deliverance, and of provision.
Amen.
We ask, Lord, that you come to us now, abide with us, encourage each one of us, and Lord, I pray for your strength to endure to the end for everyone who hears this message, as well as ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Gentlemen, always a pleasure to be with you, and the microphone is yours.
Yes. You know, sometimes we get a little bit too obsessed with what's been going on with coronavirus or COVID or whatever they want to call it. They keep changing all the time because that's sort of how the devil plays it. But what he's trying to do is keep us off some other things that are going on.
Exactly.
And tonight we're going to look at one of those things that could very well be getting ready to break out now. And all I can say is this is, we're going to have to spend the next few weeks going over these things to try to get the body of Messiah ready for what's coming. And in a couple of weeks, we'll have a special guest who's going to talk to us about the millennial kingdom, which is where all this is going and where this is all going to end up in the long run. But we have quite a road to get there first, and that's what we're going to study for the coming weeks, is we're going to study the preliminary wars that are going to embattle. Because we've had the first horse. He's come, he's carried a bow, he's threatened us to death. We found out that bow has a little bit of its own meaning. Mm-hmm. But now the first horse is passed. The red horse is war, blood. And we're going to see a lot of it. And I hate to say it, but part of that, the death is going to be those who've taken this vax.
Mm-hmm. Tom, you just triggered a memory here. If I may jump in for just a half a second, not only is it for those that have received the vax, but you have to know now that the ingredients in the vax cause each one to be like a Roman candle shedding its sparkles all over the place. So if you touch a fruit, if you touch a pillowcase, a sheet, a blanket, a piece of cloth that has touched the body of someone perspiring or having sneezed on it with their saliva, those body fluids are full of the ingredients of the vaccine. So even those, like our prime minister faked his injection, it appears. However, he's shaking hands with everybody that has taken the remedy and is embracing and hugging those individuals. So he's not exempt. He's in danger just as much as they are, and anyone else is as well. So be careful. Yeah. Go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry. Because in the middle of all of this, we're going to suddenly find, as Tom is beginning to unfold to you, peace is going to be removed from the earth. That means not only war, but we have trained demonic spiritual assassins. They're weaponized, possessed individuals. They're not just possessed, they're weaponized, and they have a target, a special list of targets that they are, as soon as this thing, in fact, one of the things that probably has just triggered their implementation of their mission is Omicron. The word Omicron, just itself. Although the word itself, when you start to search, you find that it's a code for further instructions. And you get, there's several levels of instructions, but it's talking about an individual reappearing, appearing on the scene. And guess what the number of his name is? 666. But in the middle of this, we're going to find no peace. We're going to find a massive death. And we're going to find just unimaginable violence and war. And the one war that's going to precipitate very, very quickly, because we can see the tensions mounting and mounting and mounting on it right now, is what we'll begin to call the Psalms 83 war. It's a unique war because it's a war of vengeance as opposed to a war of greed. Go ahead, Tom. Sorry. Hello? I don't hear you.
Are we hear you?
There you are.
Okay.
Yes.
There is a part that will be greed because Israel still has a lot of wealth to it. But remember one other thing. Israel is the one nation in the world that has one of the highest vaccination rates in all the world. They're going to be weakened when this war comes. They're not going to be like they were in 67 and in 73 and in 82. And even, when was it? In 2014 when they invaded Lebanon. Mm-hmm. And their Lebanon invasion in 2014 was not very efficient. Their advance was very, very slow, and it just seemed like their it seemed like their commanders were not near as good as the ones that preceded them. There were no Ariel Sharons who really seemed to know how to command troops. And there's especially nobody like the guys in 67 who seemed to figure out how to upend the Arab forces and have very few troops who would withstand masses and masses of Arab troops. Those small amount, one tank literally took on 100 and survived. But you're not seeing that now. You're not seeing the efficiency. For one thing, I think they're relying maybe a little bit too much on the newest batch of F-35s, which are now starting to show that maybe they're not so great. Maybe the Israeli government needs to look at what the Russians have. And, of course, I don't know. The new MiGs that are coming out, I don't know how good they are yet.
We need
to find out.
That's true. Another thing, too, that just occurred to me, Tom, is Gideon. They may be struck down to the point that they literally are a nation of only Gideon. Only Gideon and no one else to back him up. And then the only thing that can be said, as it says in the scriptures, that they will all know that God is their God.
That's right. You have to understand, with Gideon, there was two cuts. One, he said, all you guys that are afraid, just go home. I don't need you. Most of them left. Suddenly you're left with about 3,000 guys. Well, maybe you could do it with that. But then Lord said, no, we got another test. So he had them drink from the brook. And those who cupped their hands and put water into their mouth the right way, we're all taught now to do it that way so that you can see the quality of the water you're drinking. Only 300 guys did it that way. And those were the 300 guys that beat the Midianites. And we'll deal with the Midianites a little bit later.
Yeah.
Because that is something this scripture talks about. This is something this scripture talks about.
Amen.
In fact, I would like to hope that the Israeli command is reading this chapter and taking to heart all the things that this chapter teaches about preparing for this war. It's nice that you're telling us about it, but our Heavenly Father goes a little further. He tells us how to deal with these people. So let's really dig in and figure out here. Psalm 83, verse 1. Keep now thou silence, O El, or God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O Elohim. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up their head. Boy, is that ever the case. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. Whoa. These guys, there's hatred there. And they think that because they have gotten the Israel into a weakened state, that this is their chance. So they have gone. Why? How do you say crafty counsel? They have gone to the devil's people. Some of them in very high places. And consulted. They didn't just use their own knowledge. They went to find hidden knowledge. Let's continue. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Yisrael may be no more in remembrance. Gee, where have I heard that before? It's in the Palestinian Charter. It's been in the Palestinian Charter from day one, when the Palestinian state was sort of formed out of the 67 war. Because prior to the 67 war, there was no such thing as Palestinians. But after they were lifted from their country,
of Jordan.
Well, after they were lifted from Israel and their lands,
well, yeah,
in the West Bank and other places, they went to Jordan, tried to take over Jordan, were not successful. They went to Lebanon, tried to take over Lebanon, have no success. And for they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. So these nations have consulted with the Palestinians. It's almost been interesting that now that they don't have Yasser Arafat as their little poster boy. Of course, Yasser Arafat was half Egyptian, half Hittite. He wasn't really a Palestinian. But now we have Hamas. We have the official Palestinian government. They have gone around to these other sort of nations, the Lebanons, the Syrians. In fact, we'll just identify them. We'll identify them. And because the scriptures do. They have, yeah. And the first one they talk about is the Tabernacles of Edom. And it's interesting when you study Edom. You have to go back, because in Genesis 36:8, we learn that Edom is the sons of Esau. And Esau, like Jacob, had two sons, Eliphaz and Reuel. You know, you have to understand, Esau was a hunter, a rather good hunter. He was also rather athletic, whereas Jacob dwelt in tents and did bookwork and figured out how to make more money. Esau went out and hunted. That's why Isaac liked him and favored him and was going to give him the birthright. But our Father, Heavenly Father, and Rebekah had other plans. And that's why Jacob got the birthright. And he got the inheritance from Isaac. In fact, the scriptures say, Esau I hated, because he was the man that did it himself. He was the one that did it his way. Whereas Jacob had to learn the hard way to do things the way our Heavenly Father told us to, told him to. He had to go be with Laban, and he had to learn to deal with Laban. And then once he finally got the best of Laban, only then was he allowed to come back. But he had two wives and then two concubine wives, which had 12 sons. Guess what? We find out that the grandsons of Esau, there would be 12 of them. And the Bible calls them dukes. Duke meaning leader or tribal head.
Thank you.
And we start to study those dukes. And an interesting one appears under the son of Eliphaz. And Eliphaz is an interesting name in and of itself. Go look at the names of Job's friends. Teman had a son named Eliphaz, and he was a Temanite. And he was one of the ones that told Job, even though the Bible said Job was righteous, Eliphaz told Job, you're in sin. You got to repent. So watch out. Here's a guy who's very righteous, or knows how to say righteous things, but he's a false accuser. You have Teman, you have Omar, you got Zepho, Gatam, Kenaz. And number 6 on this list, pay attention to number 6, because that seems to appear. Amalek. Now, where have we heard Amalek before? Lots of scriptures about Amalek. And he was born to a concubine. He wasn't even a legitimate son. That's why he's listed 6th. He's the lowest ranking duke in the family line. And we're going to study Amalek in the coming weeks, because Amalek is an important player. And then we come to the sons of Reuel, Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. And you're saying, well, Professor, that's only 10. Well, we got to come up with... We have to come up with more. Turns out Esau would have three wives. He married two that were Canaanite and drove his mother, Rebecca, nuts. So what does he do? He goes to Abraham's son. Oh. And he gets a son from her. And it isn't Isaac. Oh, the wild man. Oh, boy.
Oh, you're trying to remember. I've got a brain freeze, too.
When I think of it, I'll say it. Ishmael.
Yeah, there we are. Ishmael.
And you know what? Turns out Ishmael had 12 sons. And they were all called dukes, too. We need to keep track of these. Because we see Kedar mentioned. Tema, Mishma, Duma. These are names. And the Bible says we need to keep track of these things. And have we been keeping track? Not really. Tabernacles of the Ishmaelites, they're people going to war too. And then finally, we have the mixed tribes called the Hagarenes. Not a common word, but it suddenly comes up here in Psalms 83:6. So, been working on that, trying to figure out who these people are, and find out they're mixed people, and they're fugitives. And they fought with the tribes of Reuben and Gad. And remember, Reuben was the firstborn of Leah, Jacob's oldest son. But Reuben disqualified himself because he slept with one of Jacob's concubines, which is a no-no. Some of these sons did not behave very well. And Gad was the son of one of Jacob's concubines. So we have mixed people, and that pretty much describes the Arab race. They're mixed. They've mixed and matched and everything else. And then we go to further down Genesis, or Psalm 83:7-8. We have Gebal and Ammon and Amalek. Here it's mentioned again. And the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Tyre, what's going on here? Ashur also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. Oh my goodness, who are the children of Lot? I remember there Moab and Ammon. You got to go to Genesis 19. We did that a few weeks ago. And study the children of Lot. And how did those children come to be? Not really good. With their husbands dead, the women took turns getting Lot plastered. And when they got him plastered, they each conceived children from Lot. And suddenly we have two nations that did not make life easy. So let's see who these tribes are. We study it out. Gebal is related to Tyre in what is now Lebanon. And the Gebalites are from the same area. Philistines, our modern-day Palestinians like to see them as Philistines, even though they're not. The ancient Philistines were annihilated by the Egyptians. But the Bible understands that and understands what our Palestinians are trying to do. But it's interesting. We have Moab, which we could pretty much associate with Jordan. It's missing from this scenario. But the Ammonites, which are part of Syria, they're not forgetting. And Amalek is mentioned again. He's one of the sixth Duke of Edom and the ancestor of Nazi Germany. Oh boy. We got those guys again. I thought we finished them off in 45. Well, if you've been listening on this program, you'll find out no, they haven't. They're still around. In fact, one of the people that trained a lot of the Arabs was Otto Skorzeny. I probably should have popped a picture of him in here. Maybe I will. But Otto Skorzeny was one of the experts on terrorism from Nazi Germany. But he was good at creating terror as well as stopping it.
Yeah, he was a very good guerrilla fighter.
And Ashur. And to look at Ashur, you gotta go back to Genesis 10, verse 11. And the Assyrians are some of the descendants of Nimrod, better known as the Horned Hunter. Oops. What are these guys doing? Assyria is eastern Syria, part of Iraq. There's a lot of people there. They did once invade the land of Israel back in history. They did take over the northern kingdom. But then we have the story of what happened when they tried to take the southern kingdom. The name to remember in that is Sennacherib. Sennacherib decided he was going to finish off Israel's most righteous king, Hezekiah. Remember, Hezekiah was the one that Isaiah told he was to set his house in order. You're going to die. And he pleaded with the Lord and got another 20 years. Well, now he's in a mess. The Assyrians have 286,000 men surrounding Jerusalem. But, and what's worse, they've got this guy named Rabshakeh who tells the Israelites, we're going to destroy you. I mean, come on, you don't even have enough riders, and we would give you the horses to ride if you had enough riders. And he spent days mocking the kingdom of Judah. But guess what happened? The angel of the Lord, he came, he struck down all those 286,000 men. And Sennacherib had to go back to Assyria empty-handed. And when he got to Assyria, he went in the temple of his god, and two of his sons killed him.
It's not interesting that at this point in time that happened, because another thing that was going on at that point in time was about 100 years before that, not quite 100 years. the Assyrians had come in and invaded the northern kingdom, captured them, and then put them on the northern border of their particular nation. And now, when Sennacherib is killed...
Sennacherib.
When he is killed, it causes a civil war to occur between those two sons and the third son that finally becomes the king of Assyria. And during that period of upheaval, those northern tribes, we find, began to migrate en masse all the way over to the Mediterranean. We would call it the Mediterranean Sea. They called it the Great Sea in those days. And at that same point in time, you have the tribes of the Greeks, because they really weren't a nation yet, doing battle. And who is it that they fought against? A city there that Achilles participated in.
You're thinking of the Trojan Wars.
That's exactly right. It was the Trojan Wars. And from there, there was a migration that occurred that actually causes, and we have the written record of that because we have deciphered their writing. It wasn't cuneiform. It was a form of, I forgot the name of it now.
It's a very early Greek.
Yeah, it is a very early Greek. And it comes up as the national alphabet and written language of Wales today.
Yes. And that's interesting, because what happened in the main tribe that did a lot of the movement was the tribe of Dan.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, Dan was the first son of Bilhah. When Rachel couldn't have children, they tried and they tried, and she couldn't seem to conceive. So Rachel, because of the shame of being barren, sends Jacob to her handmaid, and we get Dan. Every time these guys try to do things on their own power, they make a mess.
And Dan liked to put his name. Yeah, and Dan liked to put a name on everything.
Yeah, let's see. Danube River. Sweden.
Denmark. Mm-hmm.
There's countless spots in Europe and maybe even in England. One Dan.
Yes.
And I think there's some states. Denver, right here in my own state of Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you see a D and an N, remember in Hebrew, the vowel is missing. And so sometimes we can disguise that. Dan shows up in Adonai. So sometimes I have a little bit of a problem wanting to describe our Heavenly Father by Adonai. And it's interesting, you can read in the Bible that Adonizek was Solomon's tax collector. And in 1 year, he collected 666 talents of gold. That was the first little chink in the house of David. And why we started to see the kingdom of Solomon collapse.
Mm.
and we've talked about that in the past, so I won't go into it much here. But when now we're starting to see the players, but now, and we're going to have to, hopefully, we might have to spread this over a couple of weeks here, is let's look at the methodology for destroying the enemies of Israel. And number one on the list, do unto them as unto the Midianites. Okay. How on earth did our Heavenly Father know that we would have to use only 300 troops out of the thousands the nation of Israel had? There's probably only 300 troops who haven't been vaxxed. Yet, it was those 300 men who defeated the Midianites and the Amalekites. Because he eliminated those who were afraid, and eliminated those who were careless. Because what is a vax going to do? It's going to make people afraid, and they're going to make them careless. But what he did was he used them to create panic and shock in the hearts of the Midianites. And once they got him on the run, they let the rest of the Israelites who were not selected go mop up. But here we go. We got another instruction. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and as Zalmunna. Okay, what are we supposed to do now? These princes were the and kings of Midian were personally slain by Gideon. Don't let the underlings do it. You let the boss do it. You let the head man slay the kings and the princes. That way he can go to the prime minister and say, these have been done. I personally saw to it. And you know what? I have an idea that's what they did to Yasser Arafat. The Mossad, which is the Israeli Secret Service, has been taking out a lot of the leaders of the Palestinian movement, just like they did Yasser Arafat. And here's the qualification. These are the people who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of Elohim in possession. Once again, we're seeing this situation where people want to be gods. We saw that in Genesis when we talked about the three disasters of Genesis. They all happened because people wanted to be gods. And that's what's happening today. And then, suddenly, in the middle of this, suddenly, our Heavenly Father says, as to Sisera, as to Jabin, at the brook of Kishon. Oh boy. Who on earth is Jabin? Well, let's go to Judges 4 and we'll find out. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of Yahuwah when Ehud was dead. And Yahuwah sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera. Oh, there's one of the names. Which dwelled in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto Yahuwah, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. But in the end, Jabin was disposed of a little bit differently. He was killed by a woman. But interestingly enough, the disposal of Jabin was when Deborah was the chief judge of Israel at the time. And Jabin was a king in Canaan, but he was killed by a woman. Let's read the scriptures. Judges 4:15-17. And Yahuwah discomforted Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Here we go. Don't leave any of these people alive. Howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. We skip a few verses, go down to verse 21. Then Jael, Heber's wife, sometimes wives have a mind of their own, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground, for he is fast asleep and weary. So he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said, Come, I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. Got to be careful of these women sometimes. And then here comes the last little piece of instruction. Which perished at Endor, they became as the dung for the earth. I see this as a warning. We got to go to 1 Samuel 28 to learn this story. And let's start at verse 5. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of Yahuwah, Yahuwah answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophets. Why was this the case? Because we've been reading for the last about 18 chapters that Saul wasn't a very good king and he didn't obey orders. And when your Heavenly Father gives you orders, you are expected to follow them to the letter. And when you don't, you end up like King Saul. So what did Saul do? Then Saul said to his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. Don't have to tell you that isn't going to end out very well. So, let's look at the last few verses here. As the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Remember, we were told, especially with Jabin, that it was Yahuwah who defeated Sisera's troops.
Wasn't that when they had a hail of 100-pound weight?
No, that was Joshua, quite a bit before. We just know from this scripture that we're supposed to rely on our Heavenly Father. And we're supposed to pray for him to persecute them with thy tempest and make them afraid with thy storm. Gee, Shannon, that might work in deliverance. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Yahuwah.
Amen to that.
Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Yahuwah, art the most high over all the earth. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Gentlemen, we have 2 minutes left. Give out your contact information.
Go ahead, Tom.
Okay. This is Tom Beard, Major retired, and my contact information is a website called Alive on the Edge. And I noticed that the internet is now putting up a caution that there may be contamination in the website. I'm not sure why it's doing that, but you can just
ignore it.
You got to go to advanced, and then it'll allow you to go into the website. And my email is tom@aliveontheedge.com.
And mine is whitestonefoundation.org, biblecodes.co for Colorado. And we have others. antichristwatch.com or .org and 21stcenturywarfareprayers.com or warfareprayers-book.com. And hopefully early next year we're going to have a revision, because with everything that's coming we're going to have to do one. So this is where it goes. And next week, or whenever we're back on again, we're going to go into Ezekiel 38 and 39. Because once this war is done, we're going to have another one. And we're going to have two even bigger foes to deal with.
Gentlemen, for the archive tonight, what shall we title this?
The Psalm 83 War.
Okay. Gentlemen, God richly bless you. Major Tom, you want to close us in prayer?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for having been with us. We ask that you be with each person here and whoever comes on the site later, as well as their families. We call upon you for your protection again, for your discernment of spirits, that we might see those evil things that are coming. Give us the strength and the power, your power and your authority, to come against all, even the weaponized demoniacs. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for your presence and your spirit, for you have said that by your spirit we will prevail, and we
amen.
Wait upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Gentlemen, God richly bless you. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you. Okay.
Folks, welcome aboard. Okay, we're going to set up for our next program. Let me get back into Blog Talk Radio and reset that. Here we go.